If you've been coming regularly over the last few months, you will have realised we're in the middle of a look at a passage in Matthew 5 called the Beatitudes. And these are a series of teachings that Jesus delivered at the very start of his ministry. We're going to do a very quick recap in a moment, but before I start, I want to ask everyone here the question, where do you want to see the kingdom of God break free? So what do I mean by the kingdom of God? Simon summed it up very, very well earlier. It's God breaking through, God bringing his healing, his forgiveness, his peace and love into situations in your life which seem hopeless, or situations that you are surrounded by which seem very difficult and very dark. The kingdom of God is both now, but it's also something we look forward to in the future. So as a recap, Jesus, at the start of his ministry, delivered the Beatitudes. These consist of eight blessings, but this completely turns the idea of blessings on its head. When I say blessing, you might think, bless you if someone sneezed. It seems something which is almost throwaway. But a blessing in this context is rejoice, be glad, be happy beyond belief. Yet Jesus turns this completely on his head. He says, rejoice, be happy, celebrate if you're poor in spirit. For those who mourn, blessed are you if you are meek. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who show mercy, those who have a pure heart, and peacekeepers. And number eight is the final one, but the most radical, the hardest one of all. I'll read it out in a second. So Mark 5, 10 and 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and say falsely all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here Jesus is being unapologetically honest about following him. He is not saying, if you follow me, everything will be easy. He's not saying, if you follow me, everything will work out right in the end. He doesn't say it'll be an easy life, but quite the opposite. He says, blessed are you if you are persecuted because of me. Later on in Matthew, Jesus carries on and says, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Now for us, looking at Easter, looking at knowing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again, that seems almost a poetic throwaway or kind of a foreshadowing of what's to come. But if you put yourself in the shoes of those who are there at the time, and the leader you've been following for a few years, if you want to follow me, you have to take up your cross. At this point, this was a method of execution by an occupying force, and you have to carry your cross and follow me. I don't know what I would do if my boss said that, or if Simon said that, but that is radical. It is costly. It is really demanding, and I don't know how I would follow that. Faith has a cost. The faith we're called to, the faith we are expected to live up to, when we follow Jesus, that has a cost. Today we meet together in a church freely. We can come here, we can tell our friends and our colleagues on Monday that we went to church. We can pray, we can worship openly. But the reality for many Christians around the world today is they cannot do that. From countries such as Nigeria, Syria, Iraq, North Korea, following Jesus can cost you your family, your job, your reputation, and even your freedom or your life. I work for a charity called Open Doors, which I will refer to a few times. Open Doors is a charity which supports Christians who face persecution for their faith. We'll hear a few stories about that later. But We'll come back to that, but I want to share with you a very quick story about why faith is costly and what this means for us. So when I started working at Open Doors, I spent a week with a lady called He Wu. I'm going to go through this very quickly. So He Wu is this amazing lady who's from North Korea. She looks like my gran. She is about 4'6", absolutely tiny. So much energy, and she's now in her 70s. When she was in the 90s, she was experiencing a famine in the country. So she left North Korea to China to buy food to bring back for her family. When she was in China, she got food, but she also encountered Jesus. She came back to North Korea to start and started telling her friends and family about Jesus. She got arrested, not because of her faith, but because she went into China. The authorities didn't know about her faith at that time. She got arrested and put into a prison camp. In this camp, it's forced re-education into the North Korean doctrines. And she starts a church in secret, meeting in the toilet in this camp. That is the kingdom of God coming in a camp in North Korea, in the darkest places in the world. He Wu today, when she served her time in a prison camp in North Korea, she was fortunate enough to be released. She then fled to China, then eventually made it to South Korea, where she helps lead a church full of former North Korean refugees, where they are encountering God and worshipping in a way they never thought possible. Faith has a cost. The cost will be different for all of us. These differences are more stark when we compare our stories to He Wu. But we are all part of one church. When one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer. When one part of the body of Christ is persecuted, we all share in that. But when one part of the body rejoices, we equally share in that celebration. When we see people coming to know God, where we see God's justice and righteousness bursting through, we all get to celebrate in that. Being a disciple of Jesus involves sacrifice and hardship. However, following Jesus also calls a call to reflect who he is to our world, to shine brightly and be part of God's mission to change the world. Where do you want to see the kingdom of God break through? What does this mean for us? In our society, it's really easy to be lukewarm. It's really easy for our faith to only affect us over the weekends or certain aspects of our life. But this isn't the reality for 200 million Christians facing persecution. For them, it is either live 100% for Christ or no point being a Christian at all. Where the choice is everything or nothing, you are forced to follow Christ with all you have. This is what attracted me to work at Open Doors, seeing faith lived out in a radical, absolutely 100% way. And I thought, as a really young Christian, I want some of that. I want to live my all for God. Our faith was never meant to be a weekend thing. It's meant to be something that has an impact on every aspect of our life. The realization that we are known, that we are loved by God, that he wants a relationship with us, is the most radical, most life-transforming thing we could ever, ever hear. The creator of the universe, the one who placed the stars in the sky, sculpted the earth, wants to know me, wants to have an intimate relationship with me. And because we kept screwing up, we kept getting things wrong, he fixed that. We look at the kingdom of God, and today is Palm Sunday, and when Jesus entered Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, people crying, Hosanna in the highest. They were looking at an earthly kingdom. They are looking for Jesus to free them from the Romans. But God's kingdom is more. God's kingdom is so much more radical, so much more powerful than that. God's kingdom is love. God's kingdom is a relationship. God's kingdom is breaking through in difficult places. And because we could not maintain this relationship, because we could not live up to the perfection that God is, he came down to us through Jesus, took all of our sins, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our mistakes, died on the cross, and rose again so that we can live in a relationship with him. Through this relationship, our lives become transformed to reflect and to point to God. And through this, God uses our lives to bring his kingdom here on earth, to bring his love, to bring his compassion, to bring his hope, to bring his mercy into the situations of hope and despair surrounding us. But his kingdom is not just a now. His kingdom is something we also look to the future. We know God's kingdom is coming. We have a hope for the future. But we know his kingdom is coming and his kingdom will be perfect. A relationship with Jesus is risky. It is costly. But through this relationship, God invites us to be part of his mission to change the world. In this passage, it says, blessed are you if you're persecuted, for yours is the kingdom of God. Following Christ, living a radical life for many around the world, for the majority of Christians throughout the history of the church, for over 200 million Christians around the world, living out a radical life for Jesus means you will be persecuted. We are lucky, and many of us will not face that. Some of us may, some of us may not. But if we live out a radical life, if we live out a life where we love mercy, where we seek justice, hunger for righteousness, that we will see the kingdom of God. Where do you want to see the kingdom of God break free? So looking back on the Beatitudes, if we adopt some of these upside-down blessings, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, if we have a pure heart, if we know that we need God, if we take risks for Jesus, God will transform the situations in our lives. God will transform what is going on around us. I'm just going to read what I put down instead of... normally I just go with bits of notes, but this is what I was really feeling when preparing for tonight. I believe God is inviting each one of us here into a deeper and a more intimate relationship with him. I believe the more we know God, the more our lives will be radically transformed to reflect him. I believe that as we know God more, we will recognise where God is calling us to take risks and to see God's kingdom break through in our lives, in the lives of the people around us, and in Whitney. Where do you want to see the kingdom of God break through? So in a minute, we're going to worship again. We'll sing one song, and after that, we're going to hear a few stories of the kingdom of God breaking through, both around the world, where people take risks for their faith, but I also want to challenge people here. If you have a story, it doesn't have to be from this week. It doesn't have to be from this year. But if you have a story of God's kingdom breaking through in your life, please come and share it and encourage us. I also want to challenge you to take risks. Risks are scary. Risks are really countercultural. But Jesus is not calling us to live a safe and a closeted existence. He's calling us to take risks. And he's always said he will not leave us. He will always be with us. And I want to say, if you are not in a Connect group, join a Connect group. Connect groups are places where you can take risks with others, where you can explore areas that God is breaking through in your lives, where you can stand together and pray together to see what God is doing. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who loves us in such an amazing and all-consuming way. We thank you that where we could not make a way to be in relationship with you, you came down You died on the cross to take our sins, our guilt, our shame away from us, so we could have a relationship with you. Lord, help us this week see areas in our lives. Notice areas in our lives where we need you more. Help us get into a deeper relationship with you this week. Lord, show areas where we can take risks for you. Show areas where we can step out in our faith. Lord, we pray this in your precious name. Amen.